Welcome to Matt's Holiday Movie Madness, the podcast where we talk about all things that are holiday movies, especially Christmas movies. And being that it is Christmas time all year, I know, right? I'm joined by my friend of many years, my best friend, Adam Carraher, who, should I say your name? Maybe I shouldn't have said
Hello,
that.
Ladies. Yeah. Get me out there. This is good for my brand.
Okay, perfect. Adam and I have been friends for how long, Adam? How long have we been friends?
30 years, something like that?
Yeah, it is. Sadly, it's crazily, awesomely, like almost, yeah, it is 30 years because, yeah, wow.
Well, don't give away too much here.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I just about told people my age. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, well, fortunately, we met in utero.
No. I killed that twin in the womb. All right. I probably cut that. And we're back. All right. Well, tonight we are talking about the movie Scrooged, which Adam and I have seen many times together and apart and just in general. A movie we both love, which is why we decided to talk about it. Yes. So let's see. Adam, so tell me your... your impressions of this movie when you think about it?
I love all the performances. You know, it's got a great cast. And it makes me laugh. Like, there's all kinds of places from it that I still quote it, like, occasionally, you know, or I'll just, like, Claire the whole world Claire. You know, the stuff like that. You know, there's just all sorts of random things that I'll say. I'm trying to think. There's a Bobcat Goldthwait line that's escaping me right now. Oh, you don't know who you're dealing with here. Like, just a bunch of there's just all sorts of stuff, you know. It's just it's a classic. I could watch it like anytime.
And Bobcat, when he was like more Bobcat than he is now. Now he's just,
well, when he's still Bobcat, that was still his character at the time when he was still doing the weird voice.
Right. Now he's like an avant-garde director of his own.
Yeah, yeah.
In his own right. He's made.
He's quite interesting. I think he always was, but.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing that he crossed over from that character to what he is now. Like, I can't imagine Larry the Cable Guy suddenly becoming.
That would be hard to take seriously.
Do you know what I mean? Right. Like, hey guys, I made a documentary about the homeless.
About the homeless. This is. Liz, Yemen and written, you guys. Yeah,
directed by Larry the Cable Guy.
Larry the Cable Guy.
I like that it's in Yemen. Why not? It was his first time in Yemen. But
they just couldn't get her done over there.
Oh boy, zing! Oh boy. I'd hate to be Larry the Cable Guy right now. So I totally agree with you about the performances. Everybody's great. I do love Karen Allen in this.
She's awesome.
And that, yeah, the romance, they have a lot of chemistry, I think, her and Bill Murray. That was one of the things when he came onto this movie that he wanted to rewrite was the romantic scenes. Like, he wanted to make those more of those scenes. He wanted to make it bigger, mm-hmm. which I think is a good framework for the film. I know we've talked about this before, but I think it bears repeating, is that I don't think the love interest of Ebenezer Scrooge is told too much or with too much emphasis in other versions of
certainly not in the original.
No. And
Dickens never had any interest in that.
No. And you know what? I have not read the novella. I will, for someone who likes Christmas movies so much, you'd think that would have been in my lexicon, but it's not.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. Bob Cratchit takes it on the chin a lot.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know the story. I mean, it's not, the book's not much different than a lot of the movies.
I would imagine.
I mean, this is a unique take on it, at least, because they don't actually follow that. Like, there isn't really a. I mean, I guess Bobcat maybe is Bobcat. Or Bob.
Cratchit,
right? Maybe, yeah. But, like. You know, otherwise, it's just kind of the story of, you know, somebody who has to confront his own demons, you know, and is saved by the spirit of Christmas.
Yeah, I mean it's a tale of redemption, which is what most Christmas movies are. Which is what that's what I like about them. You know, even though I know the formula, I know what's going to happen, I'm still delighted when it happens. even in the most crappiest Christmas movie, you know?
Yeah, right. I mean, same with Disney, right? Where you're just all, you're just like, oh wow, exactly. Look, it all worked out.
Yeah, that's you knew it was going to work out. It's like when I sit and watch with my kids and they get all scared. I'm like, and I literally will say, you guys, it's a cartoon. Everybody's okay in cartoons.
Right. It's a cartoon that I'm letting you watch. So trust me on this one.
Yeah. Okay. There are some cartoons not everybody's okay, but that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, it does. It turns out okay in the end. But I thought it was neat. Speaking of casting, I thought it was really cool that all three of Bill Murray's brothers are in it.
Mm-hmm.
Brian, John, and Joel. I mean, and we know his brother played his brother who invites him over for Christmas dinner and all that fun stuff, which is in the, I mean, is in the, in all the other retellings of the story that I've seen or heard. That's one of the big things, you know, I'd like, well, it's actually in the other ones, it's his uncle, when you come over for, you know, come over for Christmas dinner, and he's basically like, nah, I got too much to do.
I got to count my money.
Pretty much. The only other movie where they, I think they do focus, going back just a little bit, on the love interest is in the Alistair Sim version, which I think is from 50-something.
Okay.
Maybe even
earlier.
I haven't
seen it.
It's black and white. You can find it on YouTube, actually. It's quite good. I watch it every year. It is, I think it's the best portrayal of Ebenezer Scrooge, because his transformation from horrible guy to just like just this ball of happy fun that just loves life again is such a great thing. It's really an emotional, really big emotional turn, and he's like an incredible actor too beyond that. But yeah, if you ever get a chance, check that one out. But it does focus more on the love story, because there's a great scene where she says basically, do you choose me or do you choose money? And he's like, she's like, all right, I guess you made your choice.
Like, I can make a woman of money, lady.
Right.
I can sculpt one out of gold.
Yep. Butter and shotgun shells. yeah, exactly. So anyway, I feel like we were saying something and then we got off.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, that, even on that point, like Scrooge is different just because, you know, like it's not like about money as much as it is power, you know, and just him kind of being famous and, like, you know, intimidating everyone. That seems to be what he really enjoys, is like firing people and just being, you know, his office alone, cross a thing you nail people to.
That's
right.
Amazing. Like, yeah.
So like, I don't know. I mean, it was just, so it's like, you know, Ebenezer is classically just a greedy, you know, like old man Potter from Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life, you know, yeah. It's just a neat take on the story.
I totally agree. It is more about power, and I think that is a nice twist, because it gives him more opportunity to just be awful. I mean, and he is awful. Bill Murray is awful, especially when, like, what do you want to give your brother, VCR or towel? Goes with the towel.
VCR is from Grace.
Even Alfred Woodard is like, your only brother. Towel. Ouch. Yeah, the VCRs from Grace. Fantastic. Remember when VCRs were uncommon? Now
yeah,
you can't
when,
even
when
find
that was
them.
Like a great gift.
Now it's like, yeah, now it's even hard to find one. I mean, you have to go to like a Goodwill to find one. Yeah, yep. Anyway, that's a whole
other
conversation.
You know, the funny thing is that I watched the ending like not that long ago, right? I just, because that was on YouTube, I could find like the last 8 minutes or whatever.
Oh, sure.
And when he's apologizing to his brother on TV about, you know, the VCR and the towel and everything, at the end they start singing, and the guy's like, and his brother's like, "We should be taped." And like, somehow it never occurred to me that that was because he got a VCR.
Didn't remember that either. Oh, that's brilliant. Why are we taping this?
Yeah.
I love the fact that, speaking of that last 8 minutes, is like, that's the first time in a movie that I ever saw them break the fourth wall, when he's like, okay, you in the theater, like, and that, when I saw that in the theater, I was like, that is the most brilliant thing I've ever seen. How does he know I'm sitting in the theater?
Right, you
know,
right. You're like, all right, that's no good. Left side of the theater. Left side of the theater.
I mean, I was like, I don't know, I was like 11 or 12, I think. It came out in 88. So yeah, I would have been 12. which is like, I mean, it's a good age to see that movie too. It's not like, you know, it's not super dirty or anything. It's really funny and yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I mean, the first one I can think of is Trading Places, but I wouldn't have seen that yet, right, at the time.
You mean the first, that broke the fourth wall?
It's the first one I can think of in, like, when the timeline of movies I know.
When did they break the fourth wall in
Trading
Places?
Because it's like, you know, he's explaining to him, this is like, you know, the different commodities, this is the gold, and this
is
and this is like bacon, which you might find in a bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich. And Eddie Murphy like looks straight at the camera like...
That's right, he mugs. That's what we call a mug. Oh my gosh, yeah, I do remember that. All right, here's some fun facts. This was the first movie that Bill Murray made after Ghostbusters. He took a 4-year hiatus. I was really surprised about that too. He did not like the overwhelming fame after Ghost, because that was such a gigantic hit.
Huge movie, yeah.
I think it was like, I mean, for your first, like, it wasn't his first movie, but one of his first, and for it to be such an incredible success, I think I might drop out of the business for a little while too. Because, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I can't imagine. Oh, it must have just been incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it must have been. I don't know. I can't even imagine what it was like. But
right,
I didn't realize that he had that big of a gap, because I always think of like there were Stripes and there's all this other stuff, you know, that the Meatballs he was in. But
that was all pre Ghostbusters. Yeah. I guess there's more than I'm thinking before Ghostbusters. Yeah, there's quite a few more. Stripes especially, where he was a star, before that he had been, it was always like an ensemble cast, and that was one of the things I read a little bit in an interview too, that he felt a lot of pressure being the star, like the one guy who was all, it was there every day on set, which, I mean, I can imagine, but hey, you know, he made $6 million in 1988, so I'm not going to feel too sorry for him. Yeah, in $88, that's, I mean, at least twice that now.
That's like $2 billion now.
Right. Probably pretty close. Pretty close.
I'm not great with the economy, but I'm pretty sure that.
I think the only other guy at that time who made more money, well, guess, who do you think would have made more, who would have been a bigger box office draw and would have been paid more to make a movie?
Eddie Murphy.
Yep. You're absolutely right. Yeah, 88.
In the 80s, yeah.
Yeah, he was it.
Everybody loved him.
I mean, it's crazy, for sure. So he got paid $6 million. Its opening weekend, it made $13 million, and its total gross, what do you think the total, well, okay, the budget was, I'll tell you, the budget was $32 million. Okay. What do you think the total gross was? I think just domestic gross for the whole run.
Well, I don't know. I mean, would you say it was first weekend, 16?
13 was the opening weekend. Yeah, that's a pretty good opening weekend for a movie back then, I would say.
I guess. I mean, I don't. Well, what was Star Wars? Return of the Jedi must have been like.
Oh my God!
Three years before that.
So. You're right. Yeah, 85. Right, 85? No.
85. Yeah.
86.
Wasn't it 80 or 3? Maybe, I don't know. But
It doesn't matter.
I'm gonna guess. I'm going to go lower and say 45.
You're close, sort of. 60.
60, okay.
Yeah, not that close. But, $60 million. $60 million. That's what I thought was really interesting. Richard Donner directed it, of course, Superman fame, and a million other movies that I can't think of right now. And this was really... This surprised me. Who do you get? If you see if you can guess, I don't know. Sorry to make this a guessing game.
That's cool. I didn't realize I was in a quiz show. Okay.
You know what? All right. Who do you think did the score?
The score? I don't have a lot of names I can even use here. John Williams? I don't know.
What would be your second pick after John
Yo-Yo
Williams?
Yo-Yo Ma. I don't know. I have no idea.
Danny Elfman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like that's the only. I'm sorry.
That's probably if I racked my brain, that would have been the only other one. I could have
Alan Silvestri. He's the only other one I can think of. Yeah, Danny Elfman. And it's so funny because he's in so many more movies than I even thought. I mean, and I always think that he scores a lot of movies. He's in even more than I think that he's in.
Yeah. This must have been right before he did The Simpsons, huh?
88. Simpsons was 89. Yeah, December, yep. December whatever, 1989 was Simpsons roasting on an open fire. That's going to be another podcast, though. Am I right, ladies? Yeah. So those are the fun facts I have. I have a couple more, but I'll bring them out later. But okay. Yeah. So what I love, another thing I love about this movie is that it is, and I think you mentioned this earlier, that it does hold up. It's stood the test of time.
Absolutely.
It still makes me laugh, and I will still watch it every year. I haven't watched it this year yet, but the year, the Christmas season watching is still young. It's only the 13th today, but yeah, it holds up. It holds up.
It does. It's still a very funny movie. I mean, very few of the things that happen in it are like unrelatable at this point, you know, like, I mean, the VCR and stuff like that, but like, you know, I mean,
that's whatever. The only thing that puts it, I think, at that time, really.
Yeah, but it isn't like, you know, where you're just like, ooh, that's pretty racist. You know, like, you know how there's so many where you're just like,
yeah,
whoa.
Like, ooh, we can't watch that anymore.
Must have been the 80s.
Yeah, sorry. Like, Baby, It's Cold Outside. We can't listen to that song right. anymore. Yeah, you know, it's funny because, what was I going to say? Yeah, I mean, because TV stations are still a thing. Unfortunately, homeless shelters are still a thing. Power is still a thing. Public television is still a thing. All that stuff. Chinese food is still a thing. All that stuff. Fleeting holiday, Christmas party romances. Yeah, all those things still exist. Yeah. What's your favorite performance in the movie, do you think? I mean, or one of your favorite? I mean, there's a ton of great people in this.
Well, I mean, we already said Karen Allen, but
she's good. I don't think she's my favorite, though.
I kind of love his secretary, Grace.
Alfre Woodard. She's fantastic in everything.
I love her in it. I mean, and the, her whole story with her kid. And
oh
like,
my gosh. That chokes me up every time.
I always shed a tear for that kid every single time at the end.
That kid's amazing.
I could watch it 300 times. I probably have. And I always get all weepy at the end where I'm just like, oh, God bless us, everyone.
I know, right? It's like, we know. I mean, you know, now thinking back, I'm like, well, of course that's what. Like, if I saw it now, I'm like, of course that's what he's going to say. And he's going to say it at the end. But when you don't know and you're 12 and you're seeing it, you're like,
just like, oh,
he did it. But also, I think a lot of it has to do with Bill Murray's acting, that his reaction to it is, I think, very genuine. And I think that's probably his best, one of his best with heart. Like, he's done other serious movies, of course, many of them.
For sure,
I think this one he shows, like, the most heart without being just funny. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, because, I mean, he's funny, like, by being a jerk, you know. I mean, I always love the jerky performances.
Right.
I mean, like, where he has this whole speech at the end, and he's just like, you know, he's like, you could, you know, go out and you have a blanket and say, here, you can make a sandwich and say, here, I get it now, you know. Like, I mean, it's really, and like, he's all, you know, choked up, and then the kid, like, shows up at just the right time. Yeah. I mean, it's great. It's great. I mean, I the obvious answer is Bill Murray is my favorite performance.
Because yeah, I get. Yeah,
I mean, obviously, but
I think it was implied in my question. Except Bill
don't
Murray.
Say him. Yeah,
yeah. Like, I didn't mean it like that, but in my mind, I was like, of course, Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. Great. So also, I mean, you got the cab driver, right? Who I forget his name. But,
Jake. No, what? He's a musician too.
Johansson. Goes to Christmas Pass.
Yeah, he's Johansson or something. I think is the name. Let me see if I can look it up, but. Yes, he, yeah.
Can you get me the IBC building in 3 minutes? What floor?
What is his name? David John Johansson. Johansson is a ghost of Christmas Past. Okay. It was originally supposed to be Sam Kinison.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
I know, me
That would
too,
have been
right?
like he would have almost taken too much away from the scene, though.
Yeah, because you know they would have done the scream thing at the end. And
Well, he
like,
had to do his oh thing, right? Like,
right,
because
that's what I mean.
that was
Like,
peak Sam Kinison, 88.
right, which would have been another big draw. I mean, besides all the million other cameos that are in this.
Yeah, like I mean, well, and another one worth noting is Carol Kane, of course, as the Ghost of Christmas Present.
See, I'd say she's, for me, I think she steals the show a little bit. I think
Yeah.
if you're going to remember any other performance, that's the one. You're going to
Yeah.
remember her slapping him around. It's hysterical. I
When
mean,
she hits him with the toaster.
oh my gosh, it's so great. It's so great. And like you can tell they're having a good time together too. Like you know that had to be fun for both of
Oh,
them.
absolutely.
And they're both like comedic, I mean, I'll say comedic geniuses for sure. And I bet a lot of that was ad-lib because I know Bill Murray ad-libbed a lot. That was one of the things I read too, is that Richard Donner was like, I've never worked with an actor who improvised so much.
Huh.
And I'm guessing any when you were talking about the end of the like the end of the movie, I'm sure a lot of that was
Oh yeah, he's
just
just
him.
pouring it out.
Right. Yeah. But yeah, I totally agree with you. The Ghost of Christmas Past, he's fantastic too.
Yeah, he's a lot of
Future,
fun.
he doesn't talk a lot.
Future doesn't say much.
I also love, and I'm just remembering this, the whole like storyline of Bobcat when he gets fired, and then
Yeah.
just to see his day go from the worst to the worst. I mean, he hits rock bottom a couple of times.
A couple of times because he gets thrown out of the building, right? And
Oh.
then he's talking to himself, trying to figure out how he's gonna explain this to his wife. And when he goes and buys the liquor, right? And then he gets hit by the puddle. The cab
That's
drives
right.
by, hits him with the puddle, and then the brown bag, drops the bottle off the bottom.
He can't
And it just,
even.
yeah, it's even worse until he shows up with the shotgun.
But does it go poor for him? No, it goes great. He ends up getting
Goes
his
great.
job. He ends up getting a raise or a promotion, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm going to hire you back at twice your reasonable salary.
My gosh, it's fantastic. Okay, do you want to hear Do you want to hear the taglines for this movie? Actually, let
No.
me hear what you think the tagline is. There's two taglines, but what do you think would be a tagline for this movie?
Oh boy. I mean, I'm gonna have a hard time riffing here.
The past is back again, but in triplets. I don't
But in
know. I
triplets.
don't know. That's the only thing I come up with. All right, while you're thinking of one, I'll give you the one, the one of the ones, which is Bill Murray is back among the ghosts. Only this time, it's three against one.
Oh, how am I going to top that?
Just say anything. There's
God.
worry about it. No, don't worry about it. I put you on the spot. Don't worry. The other one is, if you think of one any time throughout this
Okay,
conversation,
fair
just
enough.
belt it out. this one's so horrible. The spirits will move you in odd and hysterical ways.
How did they ever make $60 million when they're
Don't
pitching it
know.
like that?
If
That's
have you,
horrible.
I mean, go and look at taglines for movies. They're terrible. They're
Yeah, they're
terrible.
generally terrible.
The one for Christmas Vacation, which is predictable, is you'll love it.
No, You'll Love It is from Scrooged. Isn't it You'll Crack Up
Oh,
is
you're
Christmas?
right. I'm so sorry. You'll crack up. Yes, you'll love it is the
IEC promo for
the promo for it. That's right. You will crack up. There's another one too from Christmas Vacation that I can't think of right now. But anyway, we're not talking about Christmas Vacation. Okay. This is something I ask in every podcast, but I don't know if it's going to be relevant or even possible to answer in this. Is there any tradition in this movie that you would use as a tradition in your household or with your family?
Stapling the antlers to mice.
And
Maybe not that one.
win. Perfect answer.
Do you give your children 5 pounds of veal?
Oh my gosh, that's a great one. Wow, deep cut, no pun intended.
Oh, that's who Brian.
Oh yeah, Brian Doyle Murray. You're right. Yeah,
that's
right. Good call.
It's 5 pounds of veal.
That's right. Every time and no matter what, when they see their mom, Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true.
I'm sure too. That's a good one. For me, I don't know what it'd be. I think maybe shooting up an office. You know, get a year of aggression. No, not at people, just at things.
Just you go when nobody's there on Christmas and shoot up the office.
Just to like really, you know, the year's frustrations, just let them out, and then you know what? Then we're over, and it's over. And once the lawsuit's done, you're back. You're back on Easy Street.
Hopefully by New Year's.
Oh, no possibility of that.
No. Next year.
Let's see. Okay. That's not my real answer. I don't know what it would be. I think honestly. Oh man, I think giving people the best present. I mean, it's a terrible towel versus VCR, but I think there's a lot of times we in our minds think I could give him the towel. I could save, does he really need the VCR? But I think to give the VCR, metaphorically, you know what I'm saying? Like
yes.
Do the big thing. It's not because it's Christmas, because like we're humans and we need to do nice things for people. Not just things, but anyway, you were going to say.
But I think it's also symbolic of like how, like, you know, he's got the, you know, the crappy gift and the good gift.
Right.
But that's all he's got, that everybody, including his brother on the list, get the same thing, right? It's so binary. Whereas, you know, his brother actually has a thoughtful gift. He gives him the picture from when they're kids, which is like, it doesn't, you know, I mean, that's like, you know. Because Christmas to me is always just like, you know, I mean, you get all this stuff, you don't need any of it, you know, like nobody needs any of this garbage. And you know, so much of it, it's meaningless, right? I mean, where it's like, you give me a VCR or whatever the equivalent is.
Yeah.
I'd be like, okay, cool, thanks. You know, that's useful that you gave me the new Xbox, but, you know, like, you know, I'm probably not going to play it that much. But, you know, like a nice picture, like, I mean, that's thoughtful. That's from the heart.
It's true. And it's funny because I struggle to find things as I get older. I struggle to find things, you know, where I was, our family was, make sure you update your Amazon wish list, because it's an easy way to see what people want and buy stuff, da da da. I struggle to find things to put on there because I think, well, do I need it? Is always my question. Do I need it? And usually the answer is no. And I think, you know, if I really needed it, I'll probably go out and get it when I need it.
If I really need it, I probably already went and got it, right?
Like, right, exactly.
I needed it because it's cold outside and I didn't have a coat.
Oh, well, wait till Christmas, November 3rd.
Just a few more weeks.
It's a beautiful November 3rd. I can make it till Christmas. But having said that, I love getting practical gifts because those are ones, what you were saying, like, what will I remember? Those I will remember. I will remember the Christmas where my uncle got me a thermos. And I was like, wow, a thermos? That's a weird gift. And I thought, and after a month, I was like, I love this thermos. I'm taking it everywhere. Cold water, warm beverages, whatever I want.
Yeah, thermoses are great.
I know, right? So practical. Or that pair of socks. Like, who needs more socks? Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, just wait until it's laundry day, and you'll be like, but what am I going to wear now?
Oh,
thanks. Holy socks.
Thanks, Mom, for the socks. I'm sorry I gave you so much nonsense about it. Yeah,
it's true. Well, the socks thing was always just like, did I really have to open this up? Like, I mean, I appreciate it, but like, it seems so anticlimactic.
Wait, they were wrapped? I think
I don't remember, honestly, but like.
We always got ours, I think, in the stocking.
Yeah, we always got like apples and oranges in our stockings.
Oh, okay. I think that's the equivalent of toothbrushes and underwear.
Yeah, and basically, it's filler.
It's ooh, see how heavy your stocking ooh, is.
Weighs 5 pounds. Must be good.
It's just
there's like one M&M in here.
This is fruit five. One M&M, and then it's how'd that get in there? Mom steals it away. Yeah,
that was mine. I was putting those in the cookies. What?
Can I have one of the cookies? No.
No.
No. They're for toys. They're for toys for tots.
Yeah, crap, lousy tots.
And by tots, we mean tater tots. Oh, I read something earlier too tonight about it's been on a few lists as far as like Christmas movies. So IGN, the Games Network, it named it the 11th best holiday movie of all time. That was in 2015. In 2016, Empire listed Scrooge as the 7th best Christmas film.
Okay.
And in 2017, Time Out and Consequence of Sound listed it as respectively the 12th best and 23rd best. So Time Out gave it a 12th best and Consequence of Sound the 23rd. That's pretty incredible considering how many Christmas movies there are.
I was going to say, considering the competition, and think about like Christmas movies, I mean, there's some tough competition out there.
I mean, really, for ones that have staying power and that are, you know, that are entertaining, heartwarming, yeah. and rewatchability, yeah, there's a lot, but there's not a lot of great ones.
That's not true.
A lot of great ones. I mean, you know, they can't all be It's a Wonderful Life.
No, that's a good one.
It is a good one, but I'd say that I would almost, and maybe this, you know, you and I could talk about this one maybe on another episode, but
sure.
I don't even know how much I'd call it a Christmas movie. I mean, I think it's just a good film.
That's right. I mean, because it takes place around Christmas. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just can say that it has Christmas elements, but you were saying, you know a lot
more
about
Captain. I think you can make the same case. Like, you can make the same case with It's a Wonderful Life. That one always gets the benefit of the doubt, maybe it's just because it's all that much older.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to argue about the Die Hard being a Christmas movie, I feel like you could do the same thing with It's a Wonderful Life.
Right. It's kind of that same. Well, it takes place around Christmas. Yes.
Yeah, but it's like 40 years older, and so it's just like more like ingrained in us that it's a Christmas movie. Die Hard will get there.
But also, there's a tale of redemption. If anything, John McClane gets more angry as the movie goes on, whereas Jimmy Stewart's character, whose name I can't think of right now.
I knew Mr. Potter, and now I can't come up with George Bailey.
George Bailey. He does go through a bit of a redemption, or at least a sort of, you know,
a realization of what a idiot he was being. But right. So does John McClane.
And so does Bill Murray. I mean, I guess it is kind of a redemption. You know, just being able to look back in the past and see things from others' perspectives and look at that. I think even from a third-person perspective or just a time perspective, I guarantee if you transported me back like that and I could see how I acted when I was 20, I would be so embarrassed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, horrified. Oh, you could just like show me from an outsider's perspective what I was like this afternoon. I'd be horrified. I'd be like, oh, my God, I sound like that? Ugh.
That's how I order food? Yeesh.
That's how I walk?
I gotta change things up. Maybe that's what we need to take from this movie, is that we all need to have someone recording us to just camcorder on us all the time, so we can go back and look at all of our foibles.
Yeah, we'll just get a drone that follows us, but it's always 12 feet away.
Oh gosh.
What's that buzzing noise?
A drone. It's a nothing, drone.
Nothing.
It's a
My
drone
conscience.
Christmas.
It's a drone Christmas.
Yeah, there are so many. So yeah, I thought that was really interesting that it was on those lists.
Yeah, for sure.
I would definitely put it in at least I would definitely put it in the top 15.
I mean, you're a better authority here than me because you know them all. I mean, you have a podcast about it, for goodness sake.
I watch a lot of Christmas movies. You'd be surprised at how many I have already watched.
I'm not sure I would, but you might surprise me, but
there's a lot out there, and I even like terrible ones, and a lot of and we'll talk about the terrible ones on here too, and I'm sure I'll have you back to talk about a terrible one, so everyone will get a taste of Adam Carrier incredulity.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be happy to be back and show me one that I have never seen before, and I'll watch it like right before we start recording.
Oh, then I've got a couple.
I'll just be mad about
that. You will
hard for me not
love,
to
love/not love.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So I guess, you know, anything else you wanted to say about it before we do some final thoughts?
No, we can quote it if you want, but,
I think we've been doing that our whole lives. We're good.
Yeah, I think so. It's just a great movie. I mean, you should see it, everybody.
Yeah. If you haven't seen this movie, definitely I'd say put it on your list. I mean, it is one of my favorites. And as we've been saying, it really does hold up. Still funny. Even if you're not a Bill Murray fan, I think you would enjoy this movie. And I know he can be polarizing for people.
He can. It's interesting, but I would argue it's one of his better movies. I mean,
agreed.
I think I like it more than Ghostbusters, frankly. I mean, I love Ghostbusters.
Really?
But...
Now that's interesting. I don't know. I think I may like Ghostbusters more only because you get, you know, Harold Ramis. You get.
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd, yeah. You get, you know, Winston Zeddemore,
Ernie
Hudson. You get Ernie Hudson, like
Hudson,
and
you.
Like those four guys, they do have great chemistry together and stuff. So, but I agree, this is definitely one of Murray's better movies. Definitely one of his best. I don't know. Okay, so final thoughts, or were those your final thoughts?
I have a lot of thoughts, but most of them are unrelated to Scrooge.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's a good little movie, you know. I mean, I love the rivalry, of course, with him and Bryce Cummings, you know, who the
oh,
jerk who's trying to
gosh.
Take his job.
Yes.
You know, that's great. Who's like, you know, convinced that Bill Murray's going crazy the whole time because he keeps seeing, you know, ghosts.
Well, he does see a waiter on fire. I mean, that might make anybody a little
what,
weird.
What does he say when he throws the water on him? I'm sorry. You know, I thought you were Richard Pryor.
That's right. Oh,
the white guy standing there is like, what?
That is a great and terrible joke all at the same time.
It is. And it's definitely an 80s joke.
That's
but...
true. And I can't believe that stayed in the movie. Now that you say that, I'm kind of surprised they left it in.
I know. It's kind of crazy, right? Especially like 25 or no, 30 years later, right? Where you're just kind of like, huh.
Like, we get it. Even though, like, we were kids, I think, when that happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I did get it at the time. Like, I get it now because I know, like, history. But, you know...
But I knew who Richard Pryor was. Not from
I did
stand-up,
too, but I didn't
course.
Know that. I don't think I knew the incident, right, that they were pointing to.
Right, right, which we will not talk about.
Correct.
But yeah, kids, don't look it up. Yeah, I like that too. For me, I agree. It's a good film, and I think it is one of the better turnarounds as far as like Scrooge from a Scrooge to a you know, from as my daughter would say, a bad Grinch to a good Grinch.
that's a sweet way to put it.
He really does make a great turn, and it's so joyful. It's just so joyful at the end. You know, you can't help but at least smile. And, you know, like we were saying, I also get choked up because
I always do.
He's so convincing and stuff. So,
yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess two things for final thoughts.
Yeah.
One is Claire, Karen Allen is amazing. Cause he says the most awful things to her throughout
the
movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, scrape them off, Claire, you know, ooh. You want to save somebody, save yourself. And it's just the meanest thing you could say.
Pretty much.
It's so mean, but she always believes in him, you know, like up until, you know, she's waiting there for him until the end, you know. I mean, she comes back as soon as like she sees, you know, Lumpy again, and then finally the song that they end on with "Put a Little Love in Your Heart" is the best version of that song ever.
I love that
version.
Do you know that was on the and that was another thing I read is that the soundtrack did really well too, and that song was on the charts for weeks, and I think it ended up as number 9, was as high as it got on the charts, which is kind of crazy.
It should have been all the way because it's great.
Yeah. It peaked, I'm just reading here on Wikipedia, it was Al Green and Annie Lennox.
Wow.
17 weeks in the U.S. music charts, peaking at number 9 on January 14th.
Wow, Al Green,
right?
And Annie Lennox?
I know, what a weird combo. You never put those two together, but it's a fantastic song. Really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny. You were saying, oh, that was the thing. You brought up a great point, is that she comes back. He gets back with her. I mean, we don't know what happens after, but we're led to believe we're going to let
it have a fairy tale.
Right, that he has a turnaround. But that doesn't happen to Scrooge. Scrooge is left, you know, in the Alistair Sim version and in the novella, I'm sure, is like his sister tells him to, you know, watch over my son and everything. Like he doesn't get resolved until the end. But I'm sorry, I'm going off point. But we don't see the resolution of him and his girly. But we do see that in this version. So
yeah,
great film. Okay, what would you give it? 1 out of 10. As a Christmas movie, not just a movie, as a Christmas movie specifically.
Well, I mean, because now, of course, I have a hard time thinking of a lot of them.
You've seen a few Christmas movies. Well, okay,
I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot. So, I mean, it's got to be at least a 9, right?
Yeah. I mean, what would you give it as just a movie then?
Close to the same.
Yeah. Okay.
Honestly, like, I mean, it doesn't, you know, like, you could strip the Christmas part away. I mean, I guess that's sort of impossible given the context, but,
right,
you know, but if you made the same movie and, like, you know, it would still hold up.
Yeah, I agree. And I also agree with your 9 on, I think in both, especially as a Christmas movie, but I think maybe a 9 is just a movie as well, just because it's so fun.
It's funny too. It's hilarious.
And it definitely, yeah. And it was one of those, it had rewatchability for me. Like, I think we all, well, you and I definitely know, like, there's a few movies where you go through and they become like, they're kind of your go-to movie for a while. Like, that's the movie you just are watching for a while. Like, when maybe you're winding down before bed, or maybe you're eating and you just want to put something on and you're by yourself. Like, that was mine for months. So I saw it probably a dozen times or more, like Christmas Vacation. I mean, that's why I've seen it so many times, because it was my go-to movie for like a year. You know, I watch it so many times, but
yeah, you're like, you got alone time in the house or whatever, you know, the rare time. And you're just like, I'm going to put on some noise and I want to watch like a funny movie.
Right.
Like, you always watch the same movie. That's because it's funny.
It's funny and it's easy to watch. And it
makes me happy.
It's comforting. It makes you happy. Yeah. I mean, you know. We all have those things. For some people, it's movies. Some people, it's knitting. Some people, it's music. I mean, you know, I think there's a lot of those things. You know, a telephone call, a Skype conversation with your buddy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this doesn't make me happy.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You can cut this part out.
And we're back. All right. Well, I think that's it from us. We have been talking for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Adam. I really appreciate you being on, and I'm definitely going to have you back on for one that you haven't seen.
One that makes me angry. Yes, good.
Make you watch. I mean, I'll try not to pick one that'll make you angry, but I definitely want to pick one that
bad,
you haven't
it'll make
seen.
Me... I'll be upset about it anyway, but I'll have a hot take for you.
I already have a couple in mind that I've already watched.
Okay.
Cool. All right. If you want to tell us about your favorite holiday Christmas movie, you can email me at mattsholidaymoviemadness@gmail.com. Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
Thank you, me. Peace.
Thank you, Matt.